texting and sinister conversation. It didn't matter. I just wanted someone to talk to me. But the telephone didn't ring. I finished the remaining half bottle of scotch, and after the sky grew light, I crawled into bed and went to sleep. Please don't let me dream. Please just let my sleep be a blank, if only for today. But of course I did dream. And as I had expected, it was a terrible dream. The man with the guitar case was in it. I performed the same actions in the dream as I had in reality, following him, opening the front door of the apartment building, feeling the impact of the bat, and hitting and hitting and hitting the man. But after that it was different. When I stopped hitting him and stood up, the man, drooling and laughing wildly as he had in reality, pulled a knife from his pocket, a small, sharp knife. The blade caught the faint evening glow that spilled in through the curtains, reflecting a white glimmer reminiscent of bone. But the man did not use the knife to attack me. Instead, he took all his clothes off and started to peel his own skin as if it were the skin of an apple. He worked quickly, laughing aloud all the while. The blood gushed out of him, forming a black, menacing pool on the floor. With his right hand, he peeled the skin of his left arm, and with his bloody, peeled left hand, he peeled the skin of his right arm. In the end, he became a bright red lump of flesh. But even then he went on laughing from the dark hole of his open mouth, the white eyeballs moving spasmodically against the raw lump of flesh. Soon, as if in response to the unnatural loudness of his laughter, the man's peeled skin began to slither across the floor towards me. I tried to run away, but my legs would not move. The skin reached my feet and began to crawl upward. It crept over my own skin, the man's blood-soaked skin clinging to mine and forming an overlay. The heavy smell of blood was everywhere. Soon my legs, my body, my face were entirely covered by the thin membrane of the man's skin. Then my eyes could no longer see, and the man's laughter reverberated in the hollow darkness. At that point, I woke up. Confusion and fear overtook me. For a while, I even lost hold of my own existence. My fingers were trembling. But at the same time, I knew that I had reached a conclusion. I could not, and should not, run away, not to Crete, not to anywhere. I had to get Kumiko back. With my own hands, I had to pull her back into this world. Because if I didn't, that would be the end of me. This person, this self that I thought of as me, would be lost. Book 3. The Birdcatcher. October 1984 to December 1985. 1. The Wind-Up Bird in Winter. Between the end of that strange summer and the approach of winter, my life went on without change. Each day would dawn without incident and end as it had begun. It rained a lot in September. October had several warm, sweaty days. Apart from the weather, there was hardly anything to distinguish one day from the next. I worked at concentrating my attention on the real and useful. I would go to the pool almost every day for a long swim, take walks, make myself 3 meals. But even so, every now and then I would feel a violent stab of loneliness. The very water I drank, the very air I breathed, would feel like long, sharp needles. The pages of a book in my hands would take on the threatening metallic gleam of razor blades. I could hear the roots of loneliness creeping through me when the world was hushed at 4 o'clock in the morning. And yet, there were a few people who wouldn't leave me alone. People from Kumiko's family who wrote me letters. Kumiko could not go on being married to me, they said, and so I should agree to an immediate divorce. That would supposedly solve all problems. The first few letters tried to exert pressure on me in a business-like manner. When I failed to answer, they resorted to threats and, in the end, turned to pleading. All were looking for the same thing. Eventually, Kumiko's father called. I'm not saying that I will never agree to a divorce, I said, but first I want to see Kumiko and talk to her alone. If she can convince me it's what she wants, then I will...